Hello there, Lindsay the Dr. McDougall here, and welcome to your weekly podcast. A very lovely and varied week this week. Hip-hop legends, movie-making twin brothers, debut album people from London, and a gosh darn astronaut. That's right, Commander Chris Hadfield, the dude that sang David Bowie's Space Oddity on board the International Space Station, came into Triple J with his lovely moustache and just beautiful stories. And we even had a little bit of a guitar jam. You will hear that here today. We heard from Michael and Peter Spearig, Queensland twin brothers who make some pretty rad movies. They made Daybreak as a vampire film that I absolutely loved. And their new film, Predestination, is getting mad love all over the place, even though it just doesn't make sense. It's so confusing and time-travelly and awesome. So I was stoked that they came in to the studio. Briggs dropped in, Adam Briggs from Shepparton. His brand new album, Shep Life, is a sweet hip-hop banger full of some rad stuff. And he also talked about how Gurumal likes to do burnouts. So that was good. And you got to meet Kate Campbell, Australian swimmer, who just on the weekend became the fastest woman swimmer in the world. Whatever. She was hilarious. That was great. And you got to meet, as did I, Talia DeBrett Barnett, aka FKA Twigs. What a legend. Her debut album, LP1, is just so full-on and multi-layered and crazy, and she's got a damn good singing voice too. Did most of the recording and production herself, and did a lot of the talking too, when she jumped on the phone to tell you and me all about it. Hey, Twiggy. FKA Twigs is on the line. You talked about trying to, I guess, wrestling with your music, and you saw you Facebooking the other day about the last 2 years being the most testing of your entire life. What was more testing about that than things that have gone before?
I think it's just the transition. You know, I'm 26 now, and I think that mid-20s, especially for maybe a girl, is very complicated, because it's kind of like, the only quote that I can think is a Britney Spears quote, which is, I'm not a girl, not yet a woman.
Perfect.
Yeah, that sums it up. No, but on a serious note, I think it's just kind of that time when you suddenly realise, like I am a woman now, and it completely changes your boundaries in terms of relationships, in terms of your work. You know, so much stuff happened. Like, I got signed. I was the most, like, bizarre relationship. Like, I was discovering myself, and luckily in that 2 years I was set, I guess, like a challenge of writing about it. So it kind of came at a good time. It was just painful, isn't it, growing up?
I guess so. And that is that one of the reasons why this is, you know, pretty much wholly your work, your album, your vision for FKA Twigs?
Yeah, it is. For me as an artist, it's so important for me to have creative control over every single thing that I do. And if that means that I've got to produce and learn how to use Ableton and become a better pianist and a better bass player, if that means that I have to do that and that I've only got a year to do it, well, that's what it means. If that means that I need to practice singing every single day, that's what it means. If that means that I need to, you know, go on YouTube tutorials and learn about camera lenses for like a week because I've got a video coming up and I'm directing it, well, that's what I've got to do.
You have to learn about camera lenses.
Well, I direct a lot of my own videos.
I guess that's a thing, it's a part of it.
Yeah, you know, when I say, like, I direct my own video, like, I know hearing stories of other people, they're like, yeah, I direct my own video, and it's like they've come up with an idea, and then on the day there's, like, a DOP running around doing everything for them. Like, for me, I'm not down with that. For me personally, like, I want to learn about everything. I want to learn about, like, the cameras, I want to learn about the lighting, and I want to get all the technical terms correct, and I want to be involved in the team, and, you know, I want to be there going on a recce at 8 a.m. in the morning to try and find a location, and I do all of the treatments myself. Like, I'll be there running out and buying water for all the dancers if no one else is there doing it at that second. Like, you know, even across the whole record, like, every single melodic line I wrote myself.
There's this bit in Numbers, 7th track on the album. Mm-hmm. This rad, slow, burning jam vibe, and then suddenly it's almost like you've sort of accidentally pressed double time on like a Casio keyboard drum machine or something.
I did Numbers with Sampha, and Numbers was one of those songs, like, it just kind of exploded together. It was really weird. Like, we just started jamming, and Sampha was playing the drums, and I was playing the bass part and playing that stabbing synth, and it just happened so organically. And then it came up to the middle section, and I was like, let's just pull out all the drums. on that bit where it's like, why you gotta go and hug me, babe? That bit.
Yeah.
And it goes into this almost kind of like weird girl band moment.
Well, because then it goes massive at the, for that was I just a number to you bit at the end as well, with all the ha-ha-ha's in the background. It's like another crescendo. Actually, there are a fair few lyrics on this album, like was I just a number to you? There's those lines in Pendulum about not being enough for the person that you're singing to. And even when I trust you, we can do it with the lights on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that raw emotional veins. Is it your emotions or are they stories that you've created for the songs?
No. Everything is completely real. It's something that I've gone through. It's not always as it seems. Like, you know, people always misinterpret my lyrics, which is something actually that I quite enjoy. Like, when I trust you, we can do it with the lights on. For me, it's a metaphor about getting to know somebody and showing them the sides of your personality that are maybe more ugly than you would hope them to be.
What video are you going to plan to make next from the record?
Well, I directed a video for Pendulum. It's basically exploring the art of shibari, which is a form of Japanese bondage where you are suspended by your own body weight. But I'm basically suspended by my own hair, so the rope is entwined with my own hair.
Well, can I ask, did it hurt to do that?
Yeah, and I was directing the video as well. It was like, it was a crazy day. Like, I was actually like upside down, my foot tied to my head. I'm not even joking. Like, you'll see, like, one of the shots, like, my foot is tied to my head in a back bend. Like, it's, like, crazy. And then I was having to, like, look at the monitor and, like, adjust the lighting. I was crazy. Like, on the day, I was like, oh, like, you're standing in front of the screen. I can't see it because I'm tied up. You're in front of the monitor. Can everyone move away from the monitor, please?
FKA Twigs, I had so much fun just listening to you talk about this record. Have a lovely afternoon.
Thank you very much. To the love of physical bitch. Suckers thinking they can get up in the middle of this. But God, carry on the date, they just taking the piss. So what's that sin?
Riggs on the radio right now, hey man.
Correct, yes, I am back.
You are back. You are back. How have you been, man? A busy weekend following accompanying Michelle Grace Hunter around on her Rise book launch tour.
It's a perfect book, man. It's got no words in it. All you have to do is look at it.
and you are in it, so...
Yeah,
you
know. It makes it even better.
I didn't realise Michelle... Oh, sorry, yeah?
No, go on.
I didn't realise she sort of grew up with you.
Yeah, she was my sister's best friend in high school.
Yeah, okay. This, if you she did the Take Five with Zan a couple of weeks back, and now the book is out. Was she a photographer back then as well, as you were a rapper?
Nah. When I go back to, like, those times... It's always filtered in with episodes of Heartbreak High, so I don't know what's real and what isn't.
I reckon you would not be the only person, Briggs, that listens, thinks back to their high school and goes, wait a second, that dude with the eyebrow ring and the rollerblades.
Yeah, hang on a minute. Yeah. Where's Con?
Well, we could talk about that, or we could talk about this. Because you are, I mean, as this song says, the very first song on Shep Life, Let It Be Known, I didn't realise that you had kind of considered and almost given up on making music.
Yeah, that happens, man. You know, I'm an impulsive person. Sometimes, you know, you wake up in the morning, you don't feel like going to work.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You'd get that.
Well, not here, but, you know, in other places. Yeah.
Not here at Triple J, no.
Of course,
no, sir.
Absolutely, boss. But you say, I mean, there were a few things, like changing your life, having a child and all that sort of stuff, but also encountering racism, like even amongst hip-hop fans.
Yeah, which was, it's odd.
That's weird.
Yeah,
odd. Where was that, like just on your Facebook page or in...
Yeah, just everywhere, man. You know what I mean? Like punters at shows, you know what I mean? Like it's real casual, like. You know what I mean? Like, they're not flat out,
yeah.
You know, racist, blah, 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 but it's just real, it's real casual. You know what I mean? Like it's ingrained. But, you know, I turned that around and I turned that into fuel and I made that joint.
Yeah.
And if you can't, you know, if you're still listening to my music and a racist, you know what I mean? You need to listen harder, man, or something. Like, geez, for real.
Don't text in if that is you. I don't want to hear from that. I got Briggs on the show.
He's a what?
Excuse me?
He's a what?
Surely not.
No way.
Is that really some of what you've encountered? People not knowing you're Indigenous?
Yeah, and for being, real.
That's.
Well, yeah. I won't be playing that in the shed anymore. Bet you that.
Whoa. My goodness.
Look, I'm going to play a song.
You knew what you were getting yourself into when you put me on live, son.
I'm absolutely fine. Absolutely fine with it, dude. This is the album Shep Life. You are from Shepparton.
Correct.
You're just in Darwin with Gurumal, who was doing donuts in the car park.
Yeah, man, he drops a clutch, he burns me out.
You were telling
me... Key banging and that.
Because a lot of people don't actually hear Gurumal ever speak unless he's singing like that, like he does beautifully, but he does speak.
He does, yeah, man, we talk all the time. He was like, yo, Briggs, you got a party all night long? I'm like, yeah, no doubt. He was asking if I had a pool at my hotel so he could get down to business, you know what I mean? He needs the atmosphere, son. He needs to smell the chlorine.
To know that he's sitting by the pool. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's it. Need the chlorine tablets, man. We get down to business. Gormel's happy. I'm happy. Then he goes out and just drops some more burnouts.
I want to see that. I want to see evidence of that at some point, sir. We've got someone named Sniper Raver on the text line who is an EDM producer from Shepparton, and he wants to know how you get a record deal. Any tips?
Just be good. Just be good, mate.
And I guess, does it help these days, if you are in a regional town, that the internet goes to most regional areas?
Well, yeah. You know, the reality is, man, is you just got to work like you don't need a record deal. You know what I mean? That's all I did. I just worked like I didn't want one. I wanted to release it, you know, my way, like Jay-Z or Master P or something ridiculous like that. I wanted the No Limit deal, my deal.
That's true. But you've been hanging out with Golden Era with the Hoods' label for a little while.
Yep, and I'm very happy.
How did that come about?
Well, we were all just friends. We were drunk. And then it's one of those mistakes that they made. Now they've got a handful of this to deal with, you know, whenever this album cycle comes around.
That's what they got to deal with, which is why you got Suffer throwing beats at you and stuff to get it finished.
Yeah, just to get rid of me. Get me out of his house. I don't leave. I stay down in the back room until he gives me a beat and then I'll leave.
That's how you just make it. What did you say? You make it uncomfortable for them or something?
I make it uncomfortable for everyone until they give me what I need.
Mick hasn't picked up, but he wants to know. He's a Marupna boy across the river from Shepparton, and he wants to talk about the rivalry between the places, mostly on the football field. Now, he's got all of your released music. He loves it, but he wants to talk about the rivalry.
Yeah, they all punch on. The Marupna Football Club and, like, the Shepparton Football Clubs, they're always scrapping around, messing around with each other. I myself, I represent the Rumbalara Football Club, which is my dad's club, you know what I mean? So we're not amongst that mess.
You've got out of that.
Yeah, they can fight around and throw pots at each other all day, for all I care.
Hey, I've got one more question. We've got Erin on the line. She's from Adelaide. She used to live in Shepparton. Erin, say g'day to Briggs.
Hi.
Let's get started.
Hello, Erin. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Yeah. Thanks for asking.
You got a pretty big, you got a sort of a commerce-based Shep Life question.
Yeah, because I spent the last 2 years there, and yep. I remember seeing at this little cafe bar thing called Noble Monks, they had these beanies called Shep Life.
Yes, the Shep Life beanies.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was, like, relation to your album.
Yep, I made them, and I slung them out of my friend's cafe. It was all a big front to sell my beanies. I laundered many, many dollars through there.
There you go.
I always wanted to buy one and wear it, so I couldn't.
Well, they're very sought-after items now because there's none left.
Oh, well,
I'm
what
sorry.
Well, Erin's in Adelaide now. When can she next get some of Briggs' music?
Well, yeah. I'll be there this Saturday coming.
Hey, there you go.
The 30th at Rocket Bar.
Okay. Rocket, yeah, cool. See you there.
Yeah,
right.
No doubt.
Hey. Right. That's a nice one. There you go, Erin. Have a good one.
See you then. Bye.
That's a little bit of Shep Life, slinging beanies out of the local cafe.
Mate, lucky that was it.
That was it. That was it.
I only sell beanies, mate. That's only it. Sell beanies.
There's no Danny Brown stuff going on here.
No comment.
DS texted, we named our crane the Big Rig because it's big and knows what's up, says DS.
Don't that's a pun.
Is it? Oh, because of Briggs.
Because cranes go up, right?
Yep, absolutely. Glad we got that. Hey, Briggs, thank you very much for coming in and talking about your brand new record, Shep Life. I'm going to play Bad Apples.
Yeah,
another relatively serious song on the record. There's a little bit of language on this as well.
Oh, yeah.
And who's having a sing on this?
Bad Apples.
The students that are on this.
Oh, the Bunzel music students. Yeah.
Excellent.
I got them in to do all the swearing parts.
And with that, we say goodbye to Briggs, man. That was rad. Have an excellent afternoon, man.
Cheers, brother.
In the studio, I have got Peter and Michael Spearig. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Now, wait a second. Is Michael in the green shirt and Peter in the...
Does that help for radio? I don't know if that...
Well, it helps for me when I'm directing my questions because I've got two identical twins in the studio.
Yes, but
yes,
that was correct.
Good. It's good. Now, in case you haven't heard of these gentlemen, the dudes who made Daybreakers, a film from a few years ago, who are back with a brand new film called Predestination, a very different film to Daybreakers, it's fair enough.
Yes, no vampires in this one.
Zero vampires.
There is Ethan Hawke, though.
That's true. He is in the same... I was talking to Dave, who makes our videos here, about Daybreakers the other day, where it's just going... The scene at the start where the vampire girl sort of walks out as the sun's coming up, and then the bit at the end where they realise... you know, how they can get the vaccine or whatever it is around the place. Anyway, there's no vampires in this one. I guess both films do ask a lot of, like, philosophical questions and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Predestination asks a lot of questions, and that's part of what we loved about the story. It's a complex film.
I'm going to play a little bit of the film just to try and give you an idea of what we're talking about.
What if I could put him in front of you? The man that ruined your life. If I could guarantee that you'd get away with it, would you kill him?
I don't need to remind you of the critical nature of your final mission. So please, rest.
The explosion will level 10 blocks of New York and leave over 11,000 dead. Everything we've done to stop him has failed, but I was close this time. Just one more try.
So there's Ethan.
Yeah, there's Ethan
grumbling there.
Does he grumble a lot?
Well, it depends. On what time of day you get him.
what character he's playing or what part of the character. This is the thing, it's so confusing. It's like a cop movie about time travel, but then it talks about the time travel paradoxes and stuff, and it's kind of hard to talk about it.
Well, I mean, this is a film about identity and gender. You've never seen a character like this in this type of movie before, a sort of transgender time traveler. I call this film a transgender mind bender.
Yeah, that's good. It rhymes and it's true. and this comes from a book.
It's based on a book that was written in the late 50s called All You Zombies. And we had to change it because we've made a zombie film in the past and people assume we're making another zombie film. But it was written by Robert Heinlein in about 1958 and it's considered one of the greatest short stories of all time and the mother of all time travel paradoxes.
Yeah, when was it written in?
Late 50s, 58.
58, and apparently he wrote it in one day. And you think about the complex nature of once you see the film, it's a very complex sort of paradox film, and he was a very clever man.
And when we talk about paradox, this is the whole thing of, like, when you go back in time to change things or if you go forward in time, you move around in time, what can you mess with? Can you mess with yourself, for example?
Yeah, exactly, and what kind of effect does that have on the future or the past? And I mean, I'm sure plenty of people have seen Back to the Future, The Nature of Paradox, and
This is not that similar to Back to the Future. But I guess that's the thing. Did you have to change much from the book?
It's a very accurate representation of the book. I mean, the book's only 10 pages long. I mean, it's a pretty accurate translation. But we've added a whole thriller element, a detective element into the story.
And a 10-page short story doesn't expand into 90-minute films, so there's quite a lot that we did add.
Did you ever use the fact that you are identical twins to make special effects easier? you ever put yourselves in the films?
I've tried acting. I am terrible.
Really? I can confirm that.
But I know Ethan Hawke said he loves working with twins. He said it's like a dream working with twins because of the way you guys know each other.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is too, like Michael and I, the way we talk to each other, there's no real sort of censorship. We're pretty honest with each other. And so if we see something we like and we both react strongly about it, I guess for him too, it confirms that it's good and we can move on.
I didn't realize there's actually quite a few sets of siblings that make films. Like there's the Coen brothers and the Wachowskis, who were the Wachowski brothers before Larry became Lana.
Yeah.
I remember the Soska sisters.
The Hughes brothers
as well. Do you think there's a thing that like helps, you know, to make, apart from the fact that you're honest with each other, there's some sort of sibling thing going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you grow up together, you have the same kind of influences and you react the same way to certain things. So and there's trust, there's total trust. You know that the other guy isn't going to screw you over. At least I think.
You think so? What about on set? Do people, like, who do they...
talk to? Does Ethan Hawke, can Ethan Hawke tell you two apart?
Oh, yeah. It took two movies, but yeah.
That's why you had to get him back, because he could tell you guys apart.
Exactly. I think, I mean, Michael and I think, don't look identical. I mean, I hope I don't look like that.
You probably don't agree.
I'd just say, Peter, your hair's not as big as Michael's.
Oh, well,
right.
So Michael has bigger hair. But you did have some as amazing actors, as we were saying, to show the movie off as well. Ethan Hawke, who you had in Daybreakers, and Sarah Snook, mm-hmm. who I first saw in Not Suitable for Children, the Ryan Quantin movie.
Yeah.
And she's also in the These Final Hours, which mm-hmm. is at the moment. It's fair to say, for a lot of this film, she looks very, very different.
Yes. Yes, she doesn't have facial hair in those
either of those films. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How long was the process of, I guess, aging and changing the gender of Sarah? Yeah,
it was about a four-hour process. I think they got it down to 2.5 hours by the end of it. It's a lot of work to change somebody into a man, and she put up with that for weeks and weeks and weeks.
And it's a very risky proposition to assume that it's going to work, too, mm-hmm. you know, because if that didn't work, the whole movie would have fallen apart.
Because you don't want it to fall into some kind of, you know, for want of a better word, drag queen sort of pastiche. You know, it's a really serious part of the movie.
Exactly. But it's also, like, that aspect of the film is just a piece of the big puzzle of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. As you did say, there's never been an intersex time-traveling cop film made before.
So. Not that I can recall.
Although, if you want to correct us, you're absolutely happy to. 0439757555. And that's not even a twist. The twists keep coming. Do people who see the film, do you think they fully understand the film, and is that important?
I think you get the extremes where people totally get it, and then mm-hmm. you get people who are just scratching their heads. I think the fun of it is if you go with a bunch of friends, you talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Because the answers are there.
She's got half a body length. She's sitting on the world record line.
No one will be able to catch Kate the Great right on that blue line. It's slipping away, but it doesn't matter. It'll be gold for Australia.
Oh, Kate Campbell, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
How has today been?
Ah, it's been good. I only got a couple of hours sleep last night, but I think I'm still riding on a high, so it'll be fine. I think that at about 5 o'clock tonight, I'll go for a bit of a nap, and then I'll get ready to wake up again.
Yeah, that's fair enough. You probably earned a little bit of a nap. This, of course, wasn't just 50 metres. You did the 100 metres freestyle and the 4x100 metres medley relay with Emily Seebohm, Lorna Tonks and Alicia Coutts. What a weekend.
Oh, it's been absolutely incredible. It's always great to win one over the Yanks. You know, we don't get to do it very often, and I'm not normally one to gloat, but it just makes it extra special to you know, usurp them, and we don't get to hear their national anthem for once, which is nice.
Because let's face it, every single disaster movie that we ever watch has the American anthem in it, so we've heard it a lot of times, as well, of course, at sporting events.
Oh, absolutely, and it's one of those things that gets stuck in your head, and so you're kind of humming it, and you're like, but wait a second, this isn't good.
This is the wrong...
I shouldn't be doing this. And... Stop winning, so I have to stop hearing the national anthem.
And they listened to you, Kate. They listened to you. They did stop winning. You won just over your sister. Like, Bronte beat you in Beijing, but then you got gold over her in Glasgow. So it's kind of this even keel thing now.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a great rivalry that we've had for the past couple of years. We try and sort of keep it to a bare minimum at home. just for the sake of keeping a healthy, you know, relationship and a calm night at the dinner table. But we're very competitive in pretty much all other areas of life.
Do you still live together? Do you live together?
Yeah. Well, so we still live together. We still train together. She's much more intelligent than I am. So I may win in the pool, but she wins all the arguments. And we're only training for 4 hours a day. The other 20 hours a day, I get beaten pretty soundly. So it kind of evens out.
Well, last time I spoke to you guys, she was reciting poems from memory. So she's obviously got that kind of thing going on in her head.
Yeah, absolutely. She'll come back out, but we'll wake up in the morning and she'll be like, oh, I was awake at 3 a.m. Do you want to hear the poem that I wrote? And I was like, well, sure. It must be amazing to have a brain like hers.
Well, you are. According to the ABC report today...
She's the fastest swimmer in the world, but we'll take...
The fastest swimmer in the world, Kate Campbell.
I try. I dabble, you know, a little bit from time to time.
On the line... Kate Campbell, who on the weekend at Pan Pacific on the Gold Coast left a whole bunch of people for dust.
No one will be able to catch Kate the Great. It'll be gold for Australia.
And you did on the Gold Coast too, where I looked at the waves on the Gold Coast this morning. It was a good, the water was very good on the Gold Coast this weekend. Of course, you were in the pool bit, not the actual sea bit, but still, it looked pretty rad.
Yeah, well, the water was everywhere this weekend. It was an open-air competition, and the poor spectators on Friday and Saturday night got absolutely soaked. It was hard to tell who were the swimmers and who were the spectators. They were so wet.
Oh, wow.
I felt really bad for them, but they really braved it and stuck it out, which was pretty great of them, because I don't know whether I'd be passionate enough about swimming to forego a nice warm couch for freezing cold stands.
I bet they're stoked that they did, though, to see you, and let's face it, Queensland, after you guys left Malawi, Queensland is your home, to win in your home state.
Yeah, that was incredible. I've never felt more popular. It was crazy when, your name's announced and 3,000 people just go off their rocker. I have a small appreciation what it would be like to be a rock star, and I'm thinking that I chose the wrong profession.
You've got plenty of time. You're 22 years old. It's perfect time to become a rock and roller.
Yeah, the downside is that I have no singing prowess and cannot play a musical instrument. Maybe I'll take up the drums.
Yes, you can. Imagine if you're the fastest swimmer in the world. Imagine how fast a drummer you would be.
Oh, yeah, I think that we've got my line of work sorted out.
although you do need really good shoulders to play drums, and I know you're going to have shoulder surgery soon.
Yes, so I have about a week to enjoy myself, and then, getting in for a bit of shoulder surgery, and then back into all the rehab that is needed, and then back into all the training that I need to do to get back all my strength and everything. Yeah. So I'm glad that I'm taking a week. It'll be great, and I can't wait to catch up with all my poor neglected friends and family.
Excellent. Who have you neglected the most, do you reckon, in the lead up to the Pan Pacifics?
Definitely my friends. I think they always, send me messages, and I'm possibly the worst correspondent. I'm so slack with replying. I like phone calls, and then they call and I never pick up, so I'm just terrible. Unless we see each other face-to-face, we don't talk, so I haven't seen very much of them.
This is the week, and of course, after this week, you've got an excuse. Sorry, shoulder surgery, can't pick up my phone. So
yeah, so there you go.
That's perfect. Awesome, Kate. Thank you very much.
Come with us now on a journey through time and space.
Well, mostly space. Yes, in the country and in the studio, Commander Chris Hadfield. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for the invitation.
It's lovely to have you in this country, predominantly slamming movies about space. But that's fine.
Well, my favorite space movie is Galaxy Quest. it was just
how
so
close it, does it get?
Well, it was such of a send up of so many other space movies. Apollo 13 is the best as far as just trying to stay true to what really happens.
Yeah,
but they're all entertainment and a lot of fun.
We've been talking about them today. Gravity, you got upset because it was just not.
No, I didn't get upset at all. It's just it's close to home, and I'm the worst guy in the world to watch that movie. So it's not supposed to be a training film. Mm-hmm. It's just an amusement park ride, and it's fun.
And you've also written this book, An Astronaut's Guide to Life on Earth, which has beautifully pessimistic and negative titles. Sweating the Small Things, Power of Negative Thinking, Aim to Be a Zero. It's like some 90s grunge kid wrote a diary. The things that normally people would say, don't be like that. Don't sweat the small stuff. Try and be positive. But the opposite of which is true.
Astronauts who don't sweat the small stuff die. It's really serious in our business. So absolutely. The small details are actually where you live, really.
That is, of course, what brought down the Challenger and Columbia.
Yeah, just we knew there was a serious problem with Columbia.
And wasn't that just a tiny ring?
With Columbia, it was just a piece of insulation foam.
Oh, the foam,
but it struck the wing, and we could have done something about it, but we convinced ourselves that without doing the work that we were right, and it killed seven of my friends and lost a spaceship and pretty well shut down the program for several years. And so sweating the small stuff and really paying attention to it and recognizing what's important, that is the absolute core of what keeps us going.
And that is in all aspects of being in space, including spacewalking. You answer a lot of questions on your video blogs. There was a question about crying in space, which you can answer very well because in your very first spacewalk, you had that problem.
I was, and yet in Gravity, Sandra Bullock, her tears are squirting out across the spaceship. I mean, what's the propulsive force of a tear? It makes no,
no trust
sense
me,
to me.
When you've studied acting as much as Sandra Bullock has, you can cry in zero gravity. It works the same way.
On my first spacewalk, there was contamination in my spacesuit, and it blinded first one eye, just bam, one of the eyes slammed shut in pain. And it does tear up, of course, you're right, but tears don't drain. You just have a big ball of tear. And unfortunately, the poison, the contamination that was in that tear got big enough that it crossed the bridge of my nose and contaminated my other eye, and then they were both blind. So paying attention to the small stuff, it turned out to be just the anti-fog on my visor, but that stuff was caustic enough that when it got in my eyes, it kept me blind. Eventually, I cried enough, and it evaporated enough that after a half hour or so, I could start to see again and get back to work.
This ground control to Major Tom.
Dude can also sing a note, Chris Hadfield.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that was an interesting song to cover. And no, when you're up in space, your sinuses don't drain and because you're, there's no gravity. And so trying to get a deep resonant note that you would normally be able to sing on Earth, you don't get the hollow effect of your sinuses. But it's better for the high notes, I think. So covering Bowie was okay. Getting up to here, am I floating in my tin can? Worked out okay.
And what did he say of that version?
Actually, he emailed back and forth, and I think he said it was the most poignant version ever recorded of that song, which is pretty high praise from such a great talent.
There have been a lot of awful cover versions
there,
done of
there
it.
Have, though, so. Yeah. I never covered Bowie before, and I'd been in lots of bands. You don't cover Bowie. What's the point? And yet, so I'm really pleased that he liked the version that we did. Yeah.
And you do, and you have to fix the toilet on the space station. You've got to rub jam off the walls.
Well, it's both magnificent to be weightless and seeing the world and doing, you know, we have an alpha magnetic spectrometer collecting the subatomic particles of the universe. And at the same time, yeah, you have to fix the toilet. There's no one else. We, you know, if someone loses a filling, one of us has to know how to freeze and repair a filling in a tooth and clean the inside of the ship. And the six of us, we are the last people on Earth. Every single skill that we might have has to be resident within the six of us on board the station. So the training for it is much deeper than you would imagine. I worked in the hospital in Houston, and as people came in emergency, I sewed them up and stapled together and catheterized them and intubated them and worked in the cadaver lab and the burn lab and the eyeball lab just so I would have the skills in case one of the other crew members had a problem. I didn't have to use any of them, but it's just that level of preparedness that is necessary to trust the six of us to go live off the planet.
How many times do you see the sunset in a day?
16. You go around the world every 90 minutes. So in 24 hours, that means 16 sunsets and sunrises a day.
And this is because you're orbiting around
so
the Earth
fast.
Very quickly.
And moonrises and moonsets too. So and you view the world upside down because of the way the bulge sits down out of the station. So in fact, it's not so much a moonrise. It's as if the world gives birth to the moon. It pops out of the world and falls away 16 times a day. And it's worth noticing every one because it's so magical looking.
I have never had an astronaut in here before, and I've definitely never had a guitar-playing astronaut in here before, Chris. I have an electric guitar over there and an amplifier. Would you like to just have a quick little jam?
Oh, sure. I'd happily play with you, a real guitar player. I mean, I'm just a rhythm guitarist and a singer, but I'd be delighted to play along with you, sure.
All right. I have no idea what we're going to do here. Commander Chris Hadfield and some dude from a radio station. I'm Triple J. Sure what this song is. I am videoing this as well. Somebody turn up the microphone a bit.
A sun down the alley, looking for a brother, a howling at the moon on a hot summer night. Sing the blues while the neighborhood's crying. Blues straight down, blues all down. I wish I could be so pretty and wild. Burning out his fuse up here alone.
Oh, Commander Chris Hadfield, thank you so very much, sir.
Thanks. It's a delight to play with a real guitar player.
Oh, it's a delight to play with a real astronaut. And what better way to end a podcast than with a guitar jam
with an astronaut playing a little bit of the Stray Cats. I've got to tell you, I didn't quite know what song we were playing until we really got into it, but pretty stoked to have Chris Hadfield, the astronaut, on the show this week. What a legend. Next week, things are going to get pretty exciting and mysterious. Exciting because Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords is going to be on the show. He's in a brand new movie which he co-wrote with his mate Taika Waititi. It is called What We Do in the Shadows, and it is an hilarious vampire movie set in Wellington, New Zealand. I haven't laughed this much in, it's like a mockumentary style thing, for so gosh darn long. So anyway, he's going to be on the show. Also, I have a very mysterious tour announcement. I can't tell you too much more about it, but the band slash artist slash duo are from the US, and they're coming to Australia, and you're going to be very excited. Of course, depending on when you listen to this podcast, you may already know. Anyway, wasn't that exciting? All right, have a lovely one. Bye-bye.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.